Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, listeners. This is Patty Black. I am back bringing the good news show to you. Today is March 8th, 2010. I can't believe it's March 8th. This year is just flying by, and I think it is because we're having a lot of fun. So this morning's show is going to be very interesting. We have Dr. Marilyn Volker on with us, and we're going to, she's a sexologist, so we're going to discuss issues of intimacy. So if you have a question, feel free to call the Good News Show or send us an email. You can send the email to goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. That's goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. Again, this is Patty Black bringing you the Good News Show live from Miami Beach, Florida, and I am on air with Sherry. Let's bring Sherry in, and then we'll bring our special guest in. Sherry, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Patty. Good morning, everybody. As Patty was saying, we're very excited to have Marilyn on this morning, and we don't have a lot of time with her this morning, but if we don't finish all of our questions that we have for her, because a lot of you have emailed me some great questions that you want to know about intimacy and sex, we're going to continue this with Marilyn at another date, and we're going to go forward with it. So as soon as we have Marilyn, we're going to bring her in. And I do want to say that, we cannot rise higher than our thoughts of ourselves. So I always like to bring you a little bit of something. True freedom is in the now, let go of the past and move forward into a life, the life that we were meant to live, and what a great life it is. If you want the things you never had, you will have to do things that you've never done. So as soon as we have Marilyn, we are going to bring her on.
Well, I do see, I think I see her calling in. Let's bring her in. Good morning. Welcome to the Good News Show.
Good morning. It's Marilyn Volker. How are you?
Great. Good morning, Marilyn. Thanks for being with us this morning. So in getting started, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Well, this is my field of sexology, and I have been involved in it for almost 40 years, 38. I started out as a minister's kid, former minister's wife, with the good news that there was nothing nasty on our body, although we didn't talk about private parts, and that we are to value all people, although there was some non-valuing of lots of people going on. I really took the pure message of it. I really wanted to teach deaf children, and it was a deaf boy named Brian who really changed the course of my career when he brought me words off bathroom walls to explain. I was telling the children all words mean something, and they were bringing me words, and I was explaining it to them as simply as I could. They were about 8 or 9 years old. And when he brought me these three words, I didn't know what to do with them, and so I just told him those words were nothing. And he never brought me another word again and called me a liar because I had said all words mean something. And he really pushed me to look at how we handle questions about private parts and sexuality. Then I went back to get a doctorate in human sexuality. So I've been very, very fortunate to be able to have a career that has spanned all these years of teaching medical school, nursing school counselors in addiction treatment. I call it from nursery school to nursing homes, writing curriculum, and having a private practice.
Wow, that's quite a little journey there. So let's get into some of the questions because we don't have a lot of time with you. And can you describe to us a little what the difference between intimacy?
The difference between intimacy,
the differences.
Oh, the differences. Oh, yes. Well, most people think of intimacy as just sex, like don't be too intimate. In actuality, there are 8 types of intimacy, and only one is sex. Mm-hmm. And if listeners would look at their own needs and their own communication with a partner, if they have them, one can be quite intimate without sex. And some people have a lot of sex but very little intimacy. The first type is affection. Affection, what I call A time, can be done every day without intimacy. And actually, it's important that a person receive some type of affection every day. Social intimacy means going out. And for couples who are together, go out on that date once a week. Date, and treat your partner as that date, even after 30 years, like my husband and me are so blessed. Emotional intimacy is telling your feelings, emotional debriefing, and that means once a week you sit down together just to debrief. You thank, you say your amends, I'm sorry, and you talk about issues and look at problem solving. Intellectual intimacy means talking to one another about other things. A lot of people never want to have sex unless they're intellectually turned on. Aesthetic intimacy, sharing something beautiful. Physical intimacy does not mean sex. It means walking, talking, making meals together. There's all kinds of things. Then there is spiritual intimacy, which means sharing either religious or nature or values of the same. And then there's sex, which is outer course and intercourse, of course. How about that for all those intimacies?
Wow. What a great description.
That's it. And those eight types are very valuable to know about.
There was one that you said after intellectual. What was that one?
Aesthetic, sharing something beautiful, or intellectual.
Uh-huh. Wow, okay, so let's move forward. That is really great. I'm sure that has really helped a lot of people because I've never heard it all put that way, so thank you for that.
So as a sexologist, are you focusing on all types of intimacy or just the sex type of intimacy? Oh, we lost our guest.
Okay, she will probably be calling in again. That's what happens when you're out and about and you're on the cell phone. You just never know when this is going to happen. But we can definitely learn a lot from what Marilyn has already told us. And I like hearing all that stuff. That's great to know. I'm interested in hearing a little bit more about so many things that we have questions on. So as soon as she calls in again, we'll get back to that. In the meantime, we are going to also be talking about one of our future shows. It's going to be about regaining trust and in relationships, and that's another part of really knowing how to get back in touch with your intimacy with your partner. So,
and crucial part of a relationship.
Right.
Marilyn, are you back with us?
Hello,
Marilyn,
I'm back.
Oh, great. We lost you for a bit.
Yes, that's like kind of like in sex and intimacy. People can get lost.
Right.
So my question to you, Marilyn, is, as a sexologist, are you focusing on all eight types of intimacy or only one, which is the sex?
Well, as a sexologist, that's my degree, I have to assess those eight because sometimes a sex problem is not a sex problem. Sometimes it is a relationship problem or not enough affection or not feeling desired in terms of doing things together. Or not really listening to each other, listening. And listening means you don't always get what you want, but that you are affirmed and that you may not always like what you hear. But if you're making a commitment to listen, that means respectfully listening to the other person.
Great. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about was you know, and sex also is, you know, the biggest organ that we have is between our ears. So
correct.
What do you say about that?
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it can control often a lot of those sex problems, because if one feels not attractive, if one has body image issues, if one has been highly criticized, if one has been gone through any trauma of physical, emotional, or sexual, if there's trust broken, all that comes into the bedroom or wherever the sex is happening, because you're bringing your brain and heart, not just your genitals.
Right, right. And when there's different levels, when one wants it more than the other.
Well, that's true, but our illusion is that we're going to have the same desire. We never have the same desire in hunger, and we don't say, oh, we can't go eat because you're more hungry than I am. And we never say, oh, you want to go to the movies more than I do, so we can't go. There is a willingness. One does not have to feel high sexual in order to have sex. Only the willingness and the desire to be present and see what's possible. And that's the important thing about really good sex, is if you show up and you're willing and you're not judged for how sexy you feel, all right, or how high sexual, or even what happens, if you see what's possible, that's what's the most important part. I call it body connection, heart connection. And some days it's a number three for couples, and some days it's a big whopping 10. What a surprise. But if you rate it on a number system, it's not going to get you anywhere, really. What you want to rate it on is, what did we like about today's connection? What didn't we like? What would we like to try different? People are not rocks. They have a lot of different feelings, and their body responds different. So the whole communication system is different. But by the way, don't we do that in our businesses? What do we like about it? What don't? What will we change?
Right, right. And making it a priority, we get so caught up in our daily lives, and that some people, you know, just forget to put that on the priority list and make a date night or yeah. You know,
and as we get older, it's called a matinee. That it actually, the most important thing you said was make time. When you make time for all eight types of intimacies, I know people who do very little intercourse but have a wonderful sex life. I know people who have a lot of intercourse but don't feel connected with heart. So the balance of that. I know people who decide this one's for you one day or night, and this one's for you, and then this one's for both of us. The couple works out what's going to be best for them. Forget what you see on the adult films. I'm not against them. They are great. Here's the word, fantasy. Fantasy. If you had what's on the adult films, that means you have to change your partners every day. But do you notice on the adult films, nobody's really assessing and talking. Everybody seems to be in high passion all the time. Everybody has orgasms together. Everybody seems to have no problems. And then you delete. And that's not reality. And so therefore, when adult films can help is when the couple sees, what can we do? Maybe we want to try something. Maybe it arouses both of us. When it hurts the relationship is when there's lying, when there's hiding, when somebody denies they're watching something, or when somebody would rather look at the adult films than spend time with their partner.
Mm-hmm. So there's a problematic time. So Marilyn, when two people meet and they're not a couple yet, but they're highly attracted to one another, do you have any tips on how to approach sexuality to build a strong
sure.
foundation for a relationship?
Sure. First of all, that high attraction. Sure. First of all, that high attraction is your amphetamine. It's your PEA. It's your amphetamine. It's your PEA. It's your body's speed. And that is, I'm saying goodbye to my husband. I just have to tell you, I'm saying goodbye to my husband of 30 years. The interesting part of this is when you're highly attracted, that's your body's amphetamine, your body's speed. Now, any drug user will tell you, you cannot maintain that high amphetamine state. And so you either have to take Xanax or your body crashes. Well, in a real relationship, the body moves to more serotonin, all right? More quieter or depth of intimacy. That doesn't mean sex is bad. It just means sometimes that first state is not the same. Now, some couples do not mate at the beginning with high intensity. Some actually have kind of first experiences, but they can get better. So what you want to do is you want to talk about a lot of interesting things. What do people want to do? I always talk about the three types of safety. Anything physical, anything somebody doesn't want to do, anything that they are excited about trying. You want to be safe physically, emotionally, and sexually. So you want to see if they've had any bad things happen. I don't mean you have to do therapy. I just mean, is there something that would turn you off or make you scared? And by the way, if you're reading people's body and they tense, that's a message to stop. Stop, not keep going, not try and talk them into it. Now, of course, with drugs and alcohol, it's hard to assess that. But even after you can assess, that's the what did you like, what didn't you like, what would you change if we did this again? That's the good part about it. I think if you go, what I always say is that, remember that song with a slow hand? I think that really if you're getting to know somebody, you want to know all their body parts, not just their genitals. Genitals are cool. They're wonderful. But some people, let me give you an example. Some women are face women. You spend a lot of time on their face before they really lubricate and their vagina tense. And it's the tenting of the vagina and the lubrication, which we call sweating sometimes, terrible word, not too erotic, right? That's going to help the woman feel more responsive. So you want, some women are arm women, some women are back women. So women respond what I call a gear shift car. Never, never, never start in fifth gear unless she's already there. She'll let you know. But you want to talk. And I don't mean sexy talk. Look her in the eye. Breasts are wonderful to look at. Look her in the eye. That can open up those chakras of the spirit, especially left eye. All right. You want to touch and find out where they like to be touched. Again, if you look at adult films, every woman looks like they want mouth, breast, vagina, maybe anus. You know what? Every woman's different. As I said, some women are leg women. Some women are feet women. That's the hallway into their body opening up, okay, and spirit and heart. You have to talk, touch. It takes time. Women usually don't have as much testosterone. Oh, they can do sex, but that doesn't mean they're totally responsive. All right, so it's going to take time. And trust. Trust. Any woman can be deposited in. Any man can deposit. But if they don't trust, they're going to be mechanical about it. And so for some people, that hot first time might be great, and the second or third time it may not because of that reality factor that falls into play. I usually say, get to know people. Get to find out what they like. Be a really different kind of lover. Be the kind that is interested. What makes that woman or man different than any other one?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a question here from a Kathy. She wants to know, you know, when a couple have great sex life and then their trust or hurt feelings and then there's a sexual turnoff, how does the couple regain that sexual intimacy again?
Thank you. First of all, sex does not regain trust. You do need to go to a counselor that will help you regain trust. And you do. And by the way, whether you are the trust breaker or the trust breakee, all right, every person has feelings in this. And you want to go to a counselor who's going to help step by step. What specific behaviors do each person need in order to develop trust? When you are rebeginning trust and kissing and holding hands and touching, and probably intercourse is most vulnerable, so it is the hugging or the touching that's going to take time, close on first, okay, is that You want to know you're going to be grieving. You might get angry because behind that is hurt and fright. And you step in a very interesting space. It's called anhedonic, not pleasurable. So a couple will say, why do I want to do this? And Patty and Sherry, I've seen couples who've gone through this then move to a place of starting over where they say, I don't feel as much fear, and I do feel a little more trust. Or as one of the couples I worked with would tell me the letters, I'm now with T, not the whole trust, T. And then later on, a few months, TR, I'm now at TR. And it took them a while. It took them a while. But remember, in assessing, they each had to admit what they were feeling. And it was a, I've seen many, many couples fight for their marriage, for the relationship, not against it. Now, I just need to say, if somebody really doesn't want to do this or has a foot out the door, it's not going to work. One person cannot salvage this all by themselves.
So it's age two, and they both need to come from their own truth regarding that issue.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Great question.
Yeah. So I have another question here. Somebody was, you know, someone said that, you know, they can have like 20 or 30 orgasms, and it is, and then somebody can only have one. What's that all about?
Yay you for knowing who you are. Yay you. I remember when one orgasm was just fine. I remember that era of time, okay? And then there's pressure to have more. And some people can have more, and some men can hold back their ejaculation because when the ejaculate gets to the prostate, the man will ejaculate. He's not a robot, and it's nothing about love. It's about control, all right, and care. And it's not about caring. It's about caring for your own body responses, okay, body care. The interesting part is some people hold back and they can have little mini orgasms. Some people have big orgasms and that's it. And that's it and they're just fine. So they have to now time. This is called the dance, the timing. If somebody has a lot of orgasms, their dance is going to look different than somebody who's going to enjoy, hold back, and have one big one. And by the way, I know there are some women out there who haven't had any orgasms. I call some women those lucky girls who find their clitoris early in life. Oh boy, lucky girls. And then there are some women who were told, don't touch, don't talk, don't try anything. And they're hoping somebody will give them an orgasm. A woman having an orgasm is being very comfortable with her body. She has a comfort of either touching her body or using a toy. My favorite one that I recommend is called a pocket rocket for someone to begin to try. All right. If there is someone of your partner, then you want to have a very trusting partner. But let me just ask you, both of you, when do men learn about their ejaculation and orgasm? By themselves, as most young men have done in masturbation. So most women, if they've not had an orgasm, by the time they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and I've worked with women even in their 50s, who go step by step, getting comfortable with their body, using a hand or toy, and knowing what they respond to. And by the way, you don't have to have an orgasm each time. They're great. They're wonderful. Your body gives off morphine, but who makes the rules? And if it's too much work, don't do it. Enjoy what you enjoy. And by the way, if it has to do with rape or incest, you want to go to a trauma treatment counselor because hot sex will not repair that. Oh, someone had just asked me about this morning about a resource, and I'm just going to give it out to you for trust broken after someone has an affair. Best book I found, it's called After the Affair by Dr. Joanne Spring, S-P-R-I-N-G, because she targets both people's feelings step by step by step by step.
Beautiful. That's great, because that was one of the questions that I had here, so that was great. You want to tell our listeners where they can find you and your website?
I'm
How is our timing with you?
Yes, I need to leave at this point, but I'm happy to come back and talk with you and all the listeners. Wonderful audience. The way that most people can get in touch with me is by email. Simple, easy email. You can Google me and find me, but also my email, I tell everybody to be safe out there, so it's be safe with my initials, MV. BESAFEMV. Be safe, MV at Hotmail. And I'm wishing everybody happy sexuality, blessings in any recovery out there. Thank you, both of you, for inviting me.
Oh, great. And we're going to have you back soon because we want to talk about sex during recovery and sex after 50 and all those other questions we have. So have a great day and thank you.
Thank you.
And here's the book, just one last book, Still Doing It, Sex After 50. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Marilyn.
What a great show. Now, everybody out there, you tell all your friends, they got to tune into this show because she said more in a half an hour about all the things that we all want to know but are afraid to ask. And that was a very high motivating show. Thank you again, Marilyn.
Dr. Marilyn Volker, the sexologist, and she will be on the show again, so you can look at our website for future bookings with Dr. Volker. You can find that at www.goodnewsshow.us. That's www.goodnewsshow.us. If you have a question and you did not write down her email address, you can always send an email to the Good News Show, and we'll forward it on to Dr. Marilyn Volker. You can send it to goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. That's goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. This is Patty Black broadcasting live from Miami, Florida, bringing the Good News Show to you. I am on air with Sherry. Sherry, we just have a couple of minutes. Do you have any last words for our listeners?
I want to talk a little bit about, you know, being grateful. Get out there and write down your grateful list, because we always talk about how wonderful that is. In being in appreciation of what we have, and
all right, you want to tell the secret? Patty Black and Bill Seiler will be performing. We have a few books, few shows booked, and we'll give you the dates on next week.
Yeah, that's the good news, is that when you follow your passion and you follow your joy, you never know what's going to happen. And we've got Patty Black back on the guitar singing, and we're very excited about that. So we will keep letting you know where she's going to be performing, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you out there wherever we are. Off the road with Patty Black and Jill Seiler.
Jill Seiler, you'll see it on our Facebook. And it's very exciting, so we're going to sign off now. We appreciate you, listeners, for your loyalty, for your 5-star rating, for being with us, and we love you. So we'll see you next Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.